you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near.
From Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, September 28th, 2022. Marianne, this is the last Wednesday in September.
Oh, my. It went by fast.
It's going to be October in what, a day?
I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Around the corner. Our Prime Life Times papers arrive tomorrow.
Yes.
So the October edition will be delivered out and about in the next few days. We'll be looking for that, but we're going to close out the September edition with a beloved content contributor by the name of Lyle Cleary. Thank you for joining us, Lyle.
Glad to be here.
And you have your sidekick, Rob, along with
as
support and encouragement.
It's
and
a group.
We're brothers from another mother, I guess.
That's right.
That's funny.
Yeah. And so we're going to be looking at your story, Cook Stoves and Ranges, in just a moment. But I want to acknowledge a few things going on. If you were tuned in on Monday, Marianne and I continued through our book, Prayer of the Timeless Secret of High Impact Leaders, and we read a few different sections. I hope you were blessed by that. Yesterday it was J.D. Davis on Testimony Tuesday. Rob, I gave you a little shout out saying how many times when you're in, we share one or two Davis stories, J.D. Davis stories.
Does he know that?
Yeah, and I told him it yesterday. So
good, okay.
He kind of looked
all
at
good.
Me, and I said, no, that's pretty good. They're usually humorous or fun stories that we've known J.D. for a number of years, and he's a patriot. We pointed that out, how you really appreciated his service, 20 years, 4 with the Air Force, and then 16 years with the Army. So he's a patriot, sings with the Singing Band, and we did some good shout-outs encouraging men to come join us. So if you'd like to sing and declare the wonders of God, we're launching into our Christmas music on Monday nights. We have about 10 more rehearsals as we prepare for a concert here at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And we're looking at two options, either Decatur or Springfield or both. So we'd love for you to join us, men, if you have some singing background and skills. And you can jump right in, 10 rehearsals, and you can be part of 1 to 3 concerts in December. So that's what's happening. And if you hear the morning edition of Mark and Friends, at noon today, Pastor Jason Schiffel will be facilitating our discussion on the power of love. So we're
going
to be spreading love around here today at noon if you want to join us as we have a live audience discussion on this topic. And Pastor Jason Schiffel will facilitate that at noon. We start at about a few minutes after noon, so you'll need to come right about 12, get seated, and we have our studio friends participating. And that edition is then broadcast on Friday. So that's what I have for you. So Marianne, you enjoyed this story. I was hearing you giving kudos to Lyle about it. What did you like most about it?
Well, that's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that. I think it's the warmth. I'll tell you what I like about it. A long time ago, Lyle wrote a story, an article called Community Night, and it was about the pies on the table, and somebody bid on, the women all made these picnic or big lunches or dinners or something, and the men bid on them, and his dad bid on his mom's accidentally.
It was called a box lunch.
Box lunch. Okay. Well, that whole article just gave me such a feeling of warmth and community and, you know, country fellowship. And all of his articles are like that, including this one that we're going to read. They all just have a good feeling to them.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Lyle, we've had you on before sharing some of your testimony and life journey, and you live in the Decatur area, and you're
I'll be 83 in January.
83 years young. He's one of those 80-year-olds that model for me what I hope to be like in 20 or so years.
That's interesting, Mark. Lyle just exchanged out the whole kitchen sink yesterday.
Yes.
He crawled down there. So are you going to do that when you're 83?
Yeah, I hope so.
It was the family bathroom.
The bathroom.
Yeah. I guess you call it a lavatory.
It's a sink. I don't know.
Sink and faucet. Yes, yeah. I'm not as limber as I used to.
But you got the job done.
Got the job done. And thank you for joining us. And you brought your sidekick, Rob. We get two for one with this bonus.
Well, they're both so industrious. Rob, every day, practically, is out doing some task or job or gardening or moving or lifting or delivering.
Remember the first time we had them both in, and you and I just sat back and marveled at their conversations.
That was fun.
Both of these guys pull out all this history and fascinating information.
You ought to listen to us when there's no one else around.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, let's read this story. Is this an okay time to go ahead and do that, Mark? All right. So, Lyle, take it away.
This is called Cook Stoves and Ranges. In 1946, my folks bought the Shawver Farm just north of the acreage where my mom's folks lived. When Sam and Helen Shawver moved out, they left the coal and wood-burning cook stove, which sat diagonally in the southwest corner of the kitchen. I'd like to make a post-publication editorial.
Okay.
This was in the southeast corner.
Oh.
Next to the flue.
Okay.
They also left a John Deere tractor and a Ford dump truck, which were to have their own stories.
Well, we'll look forward to that.
Stay tuned.
Great.
Where Ellen's electric range had stood on the east side of the kitchen, Dad installed Mom's white gas cooking range. White gas, also known as petroleum naphtha, was a fuel with no additives. It was used in lanterns and cooking applications. You can buy it today as Coleman fuel, but in earlier days, some service stations sold it. We got ours at Ponawash's service standard station at the corner of West Main and Oakland Streets near Decatur Millikan University. White gas stoves require the user to pump air into the fuel tank to provide the pressure to push the fuel into the burners. The built-in pump made quite a racket. Its sound would wake anyone still asleep when Mom prepared to fix our breakfast. She used that stove in warmer weather when we didn't need the wood-burning range for heat. In cold weather, heat from the range supplemented the warm morning coal-burning stove in our living room.
Now, Rob, you can jump in any time. You usually have a story or two on, oh, yeah, my Aunt Grandma had this one.
Well, if you have a Coleman cook stove that uses the same fuel, Coleman fuel, you have to pump air into the gas tank still.
You're talking about a camping stove type of deal.
Yeah, okay, we're almost at Grandma McGowan. Okay.
All right, Grandma McGowan had a wood-burning cook stove too, but her warm-weather cook stove also burned kerosene. Grandpa McGowan, to his dying day, called kerosene fuel coal oil because in his youth it was produced by distilling the vapors made by heating coal. Their stove had round wicks in the burners, and you adjusted the flame by turning the wicks up and down. The fuel reservoir was glass and set on the left side of the stove. It had a spring-loaded, self-sealing valve, so you could lift it to refill the reservoir without spilling the fuel. Unless the temperature outside was extra cold, Grandma would let the fire go out in the stove in the evening. They had a coal-burning furnace in the basement, which kept the four-room house warm. Before she went to bed, and once the range had cooled down, Grandma would lay the fire for breakfast, a stick or two of wood or a shovel of coal on the grates, then some kindling or corn cobs on top. In the morning, she added a splash of coal oil, opened the stovepipe dammer, and struck a kitchen match. Within minutes, she would have a roaring fire. Coincidentally, below this article is an article called Fuel Safety. Grandma McGowan never read such an article about striking a match on top of coal.
Yeah,
every time I seek the coal oil that's been referenced, I think of the Beverly Hillbillies and that whole song about
black gold.
Yeah.
Texas tea.
Yeah, we could all sing that song together.
Oh, I can do a whole bunch. I like that show.
Well, they were hillbillies. They lived on a hill.
Well, let's not put that down. I was born among those people.
Yeah, careful. Well, three of us here grew up in the hills. So.
Years later, after Grandpa McGowan died, Grandma moved to town to live in the same large house as her two sisters and a sister-in-law. The three sisters' baby brother lived right across the street, and he would go do man work around the house as needed.
Man work.
At my folks' house, the wood range was no longer needed because they installed a propane floor furnace and a cooking range. Sometimes when I smell coal oil or a cook stove in use, I think back to how those two kitchens smelled, the wonderful food those two ladies cooked, and never did I see a cookbook opened at their houses.
Oh, I can believe that. Okay, copyright, Lyle B. Cleary, used by permission. Lyle lives on the family farm a few miles southwest of Decatur. Retired from Lucent Technologies as a customer systems engineer, Lyle plays pedal steel guitar in the Marvin Lee Classic Country Band.
Yeah, and you recently did a concert or two. I think you guys are back out and about after this COVID.
Yeah, our last one was Philo. We did six or seven Tuesdays at Philo Park.
And you called in some weeks back and loved that steel guitar rendition, that filler music, because the station breaks. Yeah, we haven't gotten as many public service announcements, and so I fill them in oftentimes with some of the music. And when
I think this one was a fiddle player from up around Chicago where he played mandolin and exceptional musician.
Yep, well, you folks, the band was on the front page of the paper recently.
Oh, yeah. We had a good write-up.
The News Gazette, I mean.
Gazette here in
News
town?
News Gazette, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Cook stoves and ranges. Get your copy before the October edition is out.
Yeah. So read about fuel safety right below that.
That's true. Well, I tell you, the whole image of coal and Coles truck, that's just my childhood. I remember so much the little town I was in East Tennessee, those big coal trucks, packed high, big trucks, would come roaring through that town out of West Virginia, and it was just like, I can just see them to this day, my dad would go downstairs, and we had that huge furnace and roaring fire. He'd throw that coal that had come down the chute they left us, into the furnace. And that thing would just, it was like a monster.
Coincidentally, my father was a coal man, delivered coal to the individual houses in the wintertime and ice during the summertime.
Yeah.
He was an ice and coal man.
Have you been to the power station on the U of I campus where they have big truckloads of coal and they dump it kind of onto the ground, but it's on this grade and it falls like through the ground. And Mike Brewer, he was in charge of that plant. He's given me a couple of tours, but the huge furnaces that go on, you see those big smokestacks.
Yeah.
And somewhere they have like this jet engine or something that's powered up. I forget how it works. It's just unbelievable.
My goodness.
But it's really interesting to see the big coal trucks and they dump the coal. And it goes like through these grates or something in the ground. And then, I don't know, they power up these huge furnaces.
It was so scary to me when I was little because the sidewalks weren't like now. They didn't have those curbs and all this fancy stuff. The sidewalk was part of the road. And so the truck, we'd be on the sort of thing called the sidewalk, and the truck would come down. As a little child, I was just sure, how are we ever going to live? This monster's coming down the road.
Of course, 75% of our state is still underlain by big coal deposits, in case we ever need them. But what percentage...
We're saving those? Go ahead.
Well, we're saving it for next year. But what percentage would you think of the electricity that recharges batteries in electric vehicles...
I know that answer. I read it.
What percentage is provided by coal?
Probably
Marianne.
A large percentage. I can't remember the
number. 75%.
It's supposedly 70 as of this year.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
And so, we're really kind of playing smoke and mirrors here, but I don't want to be political about this. I'm just saying, buy an electric car and you're burning coal.
You're also buying some coal.
Well, and when I was in Springfield at some point last year, somebody was talking about all the coal deposits throughout the Springfield area and underneath so many of these homes, but like 20 or 30 feet down, or maybe even 50 feet down, I don't know, that there was a fear that some of these homes could collapse or something because they've dug underneath a huge area. And I was just like, I didn't know anything about it. But he said, there's vast amounts of coal around that area, but they've dug it out. And there was concern on whether there'd be issues later on.
Years ago in Kentucky, I made trips down there with some people for a little church. and we helped prepare a swimming hole in the creek and fix a little footbridge and build a little dormitory for campers to stay in. And since then, a coal company, which shall remain unnamed by me, came into the area where they didn't have mineral rights. They just continued horizontally.
Oh.
And so that creek and that mission and everything around it, the little churches, little schools,
oh my,
have all fallen down into the ground now.
Uh-huh.
And so the coal company involved immediately filed for bankruptcy, and there's nobody to go back to get redress
wow.
for that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story. Do you remember the Route 72 just east of Springfield? They had the crossovers right there at the Sangamon River Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That was called subsidence, I think.
Subsidence,
they had to
yeah.
reinforce the footings for that bridge. That's why they had to do one bridge at a time.
And the big hole?
It was coal mine below there.
The big hole with the water and trees sticking out of the water just before Danville going east on 74. That's open pit coal mine area. From the 1800s.
Hopefully I'm not going to create any kind of panic in Springfield. Somebody thinking, like, is my home going to go under?
Yeah. Well, the coal mines near Danville, that's where they found evidence that this whole entire huge area was once looked like the Amazon.
Yeah.
They found all these fossils of, of ferns, things that don't grow here at all. Animals, I mean, it's astounding.
Well, and you know, when you're reading history and geology, you see the west coast of Appalachia. It's like, huh? But Appalachia was there, had a west coast. It used to be hooked onto East Africa. There are plants and animals that appear only there and in East Africa.
Yeah, yeah. What's that whole one continent? Was the
Pangaea.
Pangaea.
Yeah.
Wow. Way out of my pay grade.
Well, the Bible talks something about it when it mentions that in the day of Peleg, the earth divided. It's a huge statement because to include that in the genealogy, it meant everybody knew what they meant.
Yeah.
The day the earth split, divided.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for being here. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Lyle, for driving in from Decatur and picking up Rob. Did you pick up Rob or did you meet
him? No, they came separate and met here.
Separately.
Okay.
You found me wandering around the parking lot.
So.
And thanks for bringing coffee, Mark.
Hey, let's let's spend a minute or two on listener letters.
Oh,
so,
my. Okay,
yeah,
we have time.
You start out with one, Marianne.
Okay, this is from Brenda in Mount Auburn.
I know where that is, about 9 miles from my house.
Is that right? Okay, Brenda says, God bless you in your ministry. May the Lord multiply the harvest through the work he's given you. In Christ, Brenda. Thank you,
Brenda. Thanks for your support. Let's see, Lyle, you haven't done listener letters with us before, so you just named the first name in town and then whatever they wrote.
This is from Carol in Springfield, and thank you. Such great programming. We're blessed to have such a Bible preaching radio station in our community.
Mm.
Thank you, Donna. Love listening to you. Thanks.
Yeah, that's Donna Leland.
And Tim, love the music choices. We're blessed.
Amen.
And this is from Phyllis from Kingman, Indiana.
Ooh, oh, she's a regular writer.
You are my sunshine.
I look forward to
each day. Please keep up the good work, Phyllis.
Thank you, Phyllis. This comes from Maureen from Springfield. Dear Mark and Tim, thank you for everything you did for me in introducing me to your station and allowing me to assist in the bulk mailing.
Aww.
I really enjoyed meeting the other volunteers. Yeah, this was some months back.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When we sent out a newsletter and we had a call out for people to come and volunteer
sure,
and
I
help.
Remember.
And so she introduced herself and we took a great liking to her. And anyone that volunteers, we take a great liking to.
Yeah, that's true.
She went on to write, also, I was amazed that 2 days later I received an envelope from you with literature in it that was the same material I received from you while I was there. Because she's part of our mailing list.
That's interesting.
I gave it to my best friend who is also a Christian. And then she writes, God bless you both and all of the WLUJ Christians. And she signs it, Marie, on some fun stationery with a Santa with a hat and scarf.
That's a snowman,
a
Mark.
A snowman. Yeah, that's right.
That's Frosty, Mark.
I was looking at that picture of you in the kitchen and telling people about Santa.
I think we need
Rob.
To get some Christmas flashcards.
Yeah, so help me out. And a little
Santa,
bunny.
Snowman.
And
reindeer.
It's a little sheep. I got
it's
those
pretty.
Right. Okay, we have time for a couple
okay.
more.
Okay, this is from Michael in Sarogoto.
Hey, Michael.
And with a donation, it just says, thank you on the card. And I'll tell you something. I'm just really into gratitude, and I just really appreciate it when people just say thank you.
This is from Marvin in Mansfield, Illinois.
Oh, Marvin writes all the time.
Thanks for all your work. Please continue to pray for rain. Thanks, Marvin and Carol.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was a few months ago. In fact, we have a couple programs, Marianne, where we might just do listener letters caught up, because some of these are piled up.
And
yeah.
Please keep sending them. It's wonderful.
And this one is from Brenda, right here in our very own beloved Champaign.
Okay.
What a blessing
you all are. Don't show favoritism, Rob. We're a big network. We got a lot of cities that we love.
What a blessing you all are. Great programs, great music for all. Thanks for your ministry. God bless. Brenda in Champaign.
This comes from Martha from Muhammad. So glad you're there! Exclamation point. Marty, yeah, that's our theme music. We're so glad you're here.
Yes, it is.
Part of our radio listening family.
This is from Jeanette in Danville. Thank you for your prayers for me. And then she talks about some things that have really been answered and asks for a couple other prayer requests. And then just really thanks us in general way. So thank you so much, Jeanette.
This is from Nancy from Champaign, or as we call it over where I live, Shambana. When I am not at the doctor's, I am home and really get more out of the programs. Bless yourself, Nancy.
Nice.
Yeah, Nancy writes all the time.
This one is from Sue from Muhammad. Hi, all. Hate to do this, but we are reducing our monthly budget, and I won't say how much, but it's still a lot.
Yeah, but it's...
Pray we can improve this in the future. To be continued, love and prayers. And this is from Jim and Sue.
And what I appreciate is, financially, because of circumstances in their life, they still continue to give, and so we appreciate that.
Amen. And you know, if it's a small amount given faithfully and regularly, in a few years, it will add up.
Yeah,
it's almost enough then to pay Mark's salary over 50 years.
And this comes from Iva Dell, who's listened for many, many years. She lives in Savoy. Great programs, especially like David Jeremiah, Janet Parshall, Land in the Book. And we appreciate, Iva Dell, your support, and thank you for writing us. Well, that closes out the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, Lyle Clary, Rob Seidenberg, and a host of prayer warriors that make it all happen.
You bet.
Thanks for your support, and keep listening.